Good afternoon. Good afternoon, San Marcos, Texas, and this is Downtown Discoveries. I am your guest host today, Rob Burke, here from KCSM, and we have here in the studio, we're going to be talking about, this is a special edition today, and we are going to be talking about the Home Center Foundation and how they help folks here in the San Marcos community. We focus on businesses and we focus on nonprofits that are here in San Marcos as part of the Downtown Association. So I have here, would you like to introduce yourselves and talk a little bit about, I don't care whichever order here, we can do ladies first.
So my name is Hannah Durrance and I am one of the founders and organizers of Home Center. Home Center is Homeless Outreach, Mitigation, and Emergency Center. So we do a lot of wraparound services to provide holistic care for people who are unhoused, to work to get them into housing, get them stable, make sure that they don't go back onto the streets once they are housed. And we provide ongoing support services, typically for individuals who are veterans or who have mental or physical health needs that make it difficult for them to obtain housing and to remain housed once they do move into housing. So these are individuals who have AMI percentage rate of 40 or below. So these are the lowest, oftentimes the individuals who are the least likely to get into services because their income is so low.
Let me ask you real quick, what is an AMI percentage rate?
That would be the median income for the area. And so San Marcos is based off of the Austin AMI percentage, which would be a little bit higher than San Antonio or some of the surrounding areas. So our rent prices are based off of Austin rent prices, which means that we pay a lot more for a lot of these types of housing and other things that are based off of AMI percentages. So that means that a lot of individuals who have a fixed income, who are on disability or who are on Social Security benefits, they have such a low income that it creates a barrier for them to get into housing, because our typical rent is $1,400 to $1,500 based off Austin's AMI percentages. So it's just the area median income.
Okay, and this gentleman sitting next to you.
My name is Raymond Mudgett. I am actually a program graduate from Home Center, and I'm now a volunteer with Home Center. I am a mental health peer support specialist that Home Center has trained at their training site, and I work with predominantly our vets, but I do work with some civilians, and I'm there providing mental health support for them and helping them move in and doing whatever I can.
So, thank you. So, not only are you helping others, but you've been helped by the program.
Absolutely.
And so, it probably gives you a whole different insight, doesn't it?
It does. I started by helping moving people in and just trying to give back to the program because they were there for me when nobody else was. And it evolved to, they asked me to become a mental health peer support specialist and help out their individuals, and I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it, sounds great. And I get to work on my mental health and help other people's work on their mental health at the same time.
That's helping each other, I like that. That's community, that's neighborhoods. So Hannah, walk us through what would be a typical, and you have so many different scenarios, I know, but how would the process work for your organization to get someone from the time they contact you needing services for housing to the time that you get them into housing and then for that long-term support?
So most of our individuals are referred to us from other agencies. Some of them are individuals that we've identified in street outreach. So when we first began working on this project, we initially were focused on a lot of street outreach to identify homeless individuals and what their needs were, what some of the barriers to housing were. Was it just income? Was there possibly drug addiction or mental health conditions, physical health conditions that might be preventing them from being successful with getting into housing? And we identified that mental health was a huge concern. So a lot of the individuals just really didn't even know how to fill out the applications for getting into housing. They didn't know how, they didn't have the skill set to apply for a lot of the programs in the area and weren't aware of what programs were available to them. And so we began working with certain ones on our street outreach to identify them and their needs, and then to help them apply for housing and apply for social support services in the area. So some of the individuals are ones that we've been working with for 2 or 3 years already. Others are relatively new, especially with our veterans project. Pathways to Home for Veterans is one of our projects, and then we also have Pathways to Home for those with households with disabilities. And with those projects, we work closely with the Veterans Project. We work very closely with the VA and with the Housing Authority. We also work with Jude Prather's office. He is the VSO, Veteran Service Officer, for the county, and so we work closely with their office to identify individuals' needs, and then to try to work with the VA to make sure that they're entered into their system, that we have a DD-214, and all of the documents that are required for housing, get them enrolled into their system, and then work on getting the housing vouchers that are through Texas Homeless Network and the Austin VA and through the San Marcos Housing Authority. We provide the case management to make sure that the person gets the voucher, has all the documents needed. We've worked with the Salvation Army and with St. Vincent de Paul to get their IDs and birth certificates, and we take them to the Social Security office. So there's a lot that goes into just getting the identification and the documents necessary for getting someone a voucher. And then from that point, we have to sit down and go through all of the applications to apply for the voucher, and then sit through the orientation and fill out all the paperwork with them, and then go to an apartment complex to start applying. And so Home Center will pay for the application fee and the security deposit once we know that the person is likely to get accepted. There are background checks. There's a lot that has to be done.
So if you think about someone that is, for the most part, those that are homeless that are maybe out on the street, a lot of times they have lost everything, and they have lost their IDs. They have lost, you know, they may be from another state, maybe, you know, who knows what the issue is. But that starting point a lot of times is there isn't an ID. And you've got to go through that process. And if you don't have a mailing address, if you don't have a place, you're spinning your wheels.
So that is absolutely correct. And so we work with partner agencies like the Salvation Army, Southside Community Center, and local churches. We've had mail delivered to Home Center. So we have locations where the mail gets sent to those locations so that we can get that Social Security card, we can get the ID, but they first have to register into the program so that we can get an address set up where we can have those documents sent over. And so yes, it's a lot, and often it takes approximately from the point of entry until we actually have all the documentation needed, have gone through the entire process of meeting with the VA, meeting with the housing authority. The whole process typically takes 1 to 3 months. So the least amount of time is that someone coming in with all of their documents the way that Ray did. Ray came in and he had pretty much everything that we needed to start out with him. And so he was a very quick process. And in 3 months, he was moving into an apartment. We've had others that have taken 6 months or longer to get them through that process, because we're starting from with having no identification. And oftentimes they're on the streets while we're trying to do this. So then we have to try to go into a campsite or go out to where this person might be, and we miss them, and they don't have a phone, so we can't just call them. We have to physically go to them, try to do a case management session, and then get what we can done, and then work on the next step later. And it's a lot of work and back and forth that takes a lot of time.
So during that time, you know, if you've got anywhere from, you know, in Ray's case, he was, going through pretty quick, you know, we can do it in 3 months, or you can do it in X amount. That time, that person, they're still either out on the street. So you talked about going to campsites. Mm-hmm. You know, you still have that issue of
right.
Where are they going to be at?
So BR3T did have a shelter project that recently has ended. And with that project, we were able to get some of our individuals into their program. As a matter of fact, we have one that's still there. He's the last one, I think, to leave their project. And he moves into his apartment the end of this month. and we will be furnishing his apartment for him and getting his anything that their organization doesn't pay for, we'll pick up that tab to make sure he's successful in getting him into the apartment.
That's a good point, is that, okay, so you're getting him into the apartment, but you know, he's going to need a bed. He's going to need a couch. He's going to need those things.
Home Center does provide the furniture. When we on our social media page, we do request things like sofas, beds, bed frames, the kitchen table, dining table. We ask for small ones because these are small apartments. Yeah. We do request recliners, all the things that you would think of moving into a home, whether it's small items like a can opener,
pots and pans,
and larger items like the bed. And the items that we have the hardest time getting are beds and the washer and dryers. Those are the ones that are the hardest for us to get. But yes, this is someone who has absolutely nothing except maybe what's in a backpack, and we're moving them into an apartment, and we're starting them from scratch, and we don't want them moving into an apartment in a deficit. We don't want them to move in and not be able to cook or clean for themselves or be able to have a bed to sleep on. We want to make sure that when they go in, that they're going into something that they can take pride in. And we recently had a gentleman move into his apartment just 2 weeks ago. We still don't have a bed frame for him. But he has recently moved into his apartment. Everything else is furnished. He's got washer, dryer. He's got a little sofa. He's got everything that he needs. And he's taken a lot of pride in it. We had some paintings that have been donated, and he has decorated his apartment, and it's immaculate. It's perfectly clean, and he's got a throw rug on the floor, and he has taken a lot of pride in having a place, and he came into our storage and looked through everything and picked out the items that he wanted and felt like would fit what he wanted for his home, and that gave him a lot of pride in being able to choose things without any stigma, without any judgment, just this is what I like and I want my home to look and feel this way. And I think that's a big part of what we do, is to give somebody that pride and feel like they have that dignity going into a place, that they're not just sleeping on the floor anymore. They're now in their own place with their own things that they've chosen and that they can decorate and they can clean and cook for themselves the way that they would want to.
And I'd love to add to that.
Yeah.
So I'm a single dad of two little girls, and Home Center furnished two beds for my daughters so that they could be in my home with me, and they were there for me through the whole entire process, and actually thought about things that I hadn't thought about. So I mean, it's a full, they're there helping you out, and just absolutely amazing with what they do and how they walk you through the process of thinking about not only now that you're in a home, but also about the future.
Well, and that takes a lot off of your head as a single dad with having two little girls. You know, you're right. There's a lot of things you don't think about because why? You're worried about the big picture. You know, you're worried about making sure that you got food on the table. And there are a lot of subtleties that you may not think about.
And I had so much fun getting to shop with the little girls. I mean, I have a little boy at home. I don't have little girls at home anymore. Yeah. And these girls were just so much fun because they were running down the aisle, grabbing hold of me and showing me all these different little things. And one was really interested in one character, and the other was interested in a different character, Lilo and Stitch, and I forgot the other one. And they were showing me the bedding that matched the thing that they really liked. And they already had some color ideas picked out that they wanted, and so we got to decorate their whole bedroom, and someone saw what we were doing on our social media page and mailed us matching beds, twin beds for these little girls, so they have two matching beds, but the comforters and the bedding are unique to their personality, so they get to go to a home. They're not going to a place that I picked out for them. They actually went and picked out these items themselves, and it just gives them such a feeling of excitement and feeling like this is something that belongs to them, so they're going to take a lot more pride in something that is theirs than something that I've just thrown together and they didn't have any say in.
So how can people, you know, oh man, I've got this stuff that I want to get to you, You know, it's not quite the same as dropping it off somewhere. You know, you've got to be able to coordinate this. And
right.
But is it going off of social media or?
Most of it is social media. So we have a Facebook page. We also have a web page where individuals can email us through our web page. There's also an email address that we have that individuals can reach us through there and just schedule an appointment. And we meet them at our storage unit so that people can drop off those donations.
Okay. So I'll tell you what, let's go on ahead because I want to at least get this in twice tonight. What are those contact information for you?
So for the email address, it's homecentertx, HOMECENTERTX at gmail.com. And that's an email address that's used specifically for volunteers and donations. And then we have our webpage is homecentertx.org. And then our social media, our Facebook page is Home Center, the Home Center Facebook page. And so individuals can reach out through our social media page and just send us a private message. We'll respond usually within a day to schedule an appointment for individuals to drop off. If it's larger items, if we can, we do navigate some pickups, but it's a little more challenging for us to schedule a pickup.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick station break here, and we're going to come back, and I'd like to pivot when we come back and talk about the needs of volunteers and some of the other, because it's not just material needs. You've got a lot of hustling to do, and you've got a lot of work to do, so I'd like to come back and talk about that. And this is Downtown Discoveries. This is your guest host this afternoon, Rob Rourke. We're on a special day, and just as a reminder, the views expressed on this show are those of the host, the guests, and not necessarily those of KCSM, SMTX, CRA, or the Downtown Association. But we will be back with you here in just a minute. And you are again listening to Downtown Discoveries here on KCSM 104.1 San Marcos, Texas. Be right back.
The Rotary Club of San Marcos is sponsoring a Rise Against Hunger food packaging event during World Food Week in October. We need 150 volunteers to pack 15,000 meal packets in 2 hours. Each package serves 6 people, so that's meals for 90,000 people, which will be sent to a famine-plagued area of the world. Locally, we will also be raising money in October for the San Marcos School Fuel Program and the Hays County Food Bank. Join us for this food packaging event during World Food Week on October the 19th from 9 a.m. to noon at the First Lutheran Church in San Marcos. We hope you'll help us take a bite out of hunger, both locally and internationally. For more information and to sign up to volunteer, please visit our webpage at events.riseupagainsthunger.org/Rotary Club San Marcos 2024.
And we are back with you here, and we're talking with Hannah and Ray about the Home Center as we have the emergency vehicles going by, and we're talking about nonprofits here in San Marcos and how they help others and making you aware of what some of these different nonprofits are, how you can get involved, how you can help. And one of the major ways is through being a volunteer. And we were talking about the difficulties. You know, you've got to have all sorts of volunteers for different things and all of these different aspects of what you're doing. And it was Yvonne came in and one of your new volunteers, and she was out there hustling and gave me some flyers, and it just so happened that we were coordinating for this interview. And I said, see, this is how things happen around here. You know, and we were talking off mic here about, yes, in a small town, we're a larger small town, but we're still connected. And so getting the volunteers and getting the people in place, it's difficult, but that's what makes this so rewarding sometimes, right?
Yes, it is. And it's because of the small town and individuals that want to give back to their community, that we've been successful in building up Home Center and being able to do what we do. We have a volunteer who volunteers every couple of days to check on one of our elderly ladies who's 80 years old, who was living on the streets, and she's now in housing, but she has early dementia, and she forgets how to even find her apartment complex, and she does need medical she does have some medical issues, and we're getting her some into medical care, and we're addressing some of the issues that she's had. And we have a volunteer who just goes in and checks on her every week, a couple of times a week, and then we have another volunteer who checks in on her as well. So she's got actually three volunteers currently. But she forgets how to make food for herself. And so having someone to just go in and prepare a microwave dinner for her, check, make sure that she's getting a bath, getting her clothing washed, reminding her of the things that she needs to do each day, that's a huge part of the case management that we do. And we rely on volunteers to make sure that our individuals are successful at staying in their apartments, especially those who are elderly and who have some mental health conditions that make it difficult for them to remain housed and live independently. We've had individuals who've helped us write grants in the past. That's helpful in that we often have individuals who can't pay a utility bill or they can't pay their rent. We had an individual who has zero income, and he's applied for his disability. He's been waiting for disability for 2.5 years. He has a chronic health condition that is terminal, and he needs to be able to remain stable. But that means even though he has a housing voucher that's paying for most of his rent, when there is rent owed, that has to be paid. Mm-hmm. The utility bill has to be paid. And we partner with Community Action to make sure that he gets his utilities paid for a portion of the year. But then Home Center pays the rest of the year because he has zero income and no disability. And so when you have someone who has zero income, cannot work, then we have to make sure that we have the funds available to ensure that person remains stable in his condition. He wouldn't survive more than a couple of days on the streets at this point. So we have to keep him stable. We have volunteers who pick up food from the food bank and take that food to some of our individuals who are homebound and who are food insecure. So that's always something that benefits us if we have someone who can go to the food bank distribution site, pick up a box as a proxy, and deliver it to someone who is unable to get out. We have a veteran who struggles to get out of his home, and he has a lot of anxiety issues related to his military service. And so we make sure that we pick up his food and deliver that to him as frequently as possible. So having volunteers who could even do something as simple as agreeing to pick up once a week to deliver a box of food to an individual is a huge help to us.
And it's only a few hours that we're talking about.
Right, we're not asking for a whole lot of time. The individual who checks in on our elderly lady who's 80, it takes about an hour to drive over, go inside, ask her how her day is going, spend just a few minutes with her, prepare a microwave dinner, make sure, just glance around, make sure that she has everything that she needs, that she's getting enough of fluids, make sure refill her cup, and remind her, hey, you have to drink some water now. I know that you don't like water so much, but it's necessary. You got to get off of those Diet Cokes and let's drink some water now. Those little things really help to make sure that this person stays stable and stays out of the hospital. So these regular check-ins, and it also prevents them from becoming so isolated and alone. If you've been on the streets, you likely don't have a support system, so you don't have friends and family that you are able to turn to. And so having a support network around you to just do a brief visit, go out to lunch with somebody, mm-hmm. take somebody over to the courthouse's events on the square, take them to the glass bottom boat tour. These are all things that we've done with individuals. We've taken them out to lunch or supper to celebrate their birthday. It gets them out of the home. It's part of mental health. And when we talk about mental health, that is also part of it. Isolation is one of the mm-hmm. biggest killers for our elderly population. And a lot of the individuals we're working with are elderly people who have no support.
That was where I was going to head to, is that it's the mental health and the actual health, and that, you know, this is a lot of the cost to society in a lot of ways right now that we talk about, that is that if you can go and make these small donations of time, that, boy, look at how you can change lives. Look at how you can help all of us in a lot of ways, because that keeping people out of the health system is the most important thing. And, you know, the best thing is just a little bit of that support structure, right?
And so, you know, if a person receives Meals on Wheels, but they don't remember how to microwave that meal, that means that they're not getting the sustenance that they need. Right. Even though we've got the service coming to them, it's not going to help if they can't do three meals a day. There's a lot of gaps in services in this community. We don't talk enough about those gaps, but one of those gaps is lack of access to Medicaid. So even if we have somebody on Medicare, they may not be able to access Medicaid, which pays for things like end-of-life care. So there's a lot of gaps in the community in the services that people are able to access, and Home Center's goal is to try to fill some of those gaps, and we rely on a lot of local volunteers to fill those gaps.
And Ray, as a volunteer, as you know, let's shift more into what you're doing now. You know, what are some of the things that you see out there that, you know, how people can really make that difference?
Kindness. I mean, it all revolves around kindness and just being there as a community for one another. And to see the smile on all these individuals' faces when we show up is just incredible. I've had to get used to hugs, which is
difficult for a sergeant.
constantly gives me a hug, and I wouldn't trade it for the world, but at the very beginning, I was like all stiff, like, wait a second here. And it's just, we make a very powerful impact in all these people's lives. And it's very rewarding to be there for them and watch them grow and watch them get better and watch them welcome you into their house and their lives when before they just distrusted people.
And how do you get that? That is a barrier that you've got to come across, isn't it? That trust.
So I've been working with some of these, the individual he's speaking about, I've been working with her for 3 years. And every time we go to the doctor's office, she has to hug her doctor and the nursing staff, and she has to have her huggy wuggies from everybody. And it's just the sweetest thing. And she just gets so excited because she's going to get to go out of the house and go see people. And she really needs that contact, that physical contact is so important for someone who's been so isolated. But I've worked with these individuals for a while building up this relationship. This isn't something that I walked into suddenly having that relationship. I've had people reject me initially, and I've had to just keep coming back and keep coming back. And when they see my face over and over in their campsites, when they see my face over and over at the location where I'm finding them, and they can call me and I'll answer that phone, and they know that I'm going to be there, it builds that trust. And sometimes it does take a long time. You know, I've worked with people for a year or two before they really grew to trust me.
So, Hannah, the half hour has gone quick. And Ray, and thank you for coming in today. But I want to end by saying very quickly that you also need grant writers, food delivery volunteers, data entry volunteers, healthcare volunteers, case management volunteers.
Yes.
How can people get in touch with you one more time real quickly?
Okay. So they can reach out to us through our webpage at homecentertx.org. They can email us at homecentertx@gmail.com, or they can go onto our Home Center Facebook page. We also have an Instagram account, but I'm not really good at answering that one. But if you do reach out to me through the other methods, I will respond.
All right. So thank you very much for coming in and talking about the Home Center and just one of our ways in San Marcos that we have here for nonprofits for you to get involved and to help our community. And thanks for making everyone aware. And folks, I encourage you to think about giving a few hours each week and helping out this nonprofit. Thank you very much for tuning in today. And Jovan, we'll be back with you next time, Jovan Marin. And we're going to finish up here for tonight. Thank you very much for tuning in for Downtown Discoveries.